week, this past week, I had an eye exam, and so I'm sitting in the doctor's office, and because they're checking me out and putting things over my eyes and telling me to read this and read that, and what's the smallest thing you can see, and that's almost right, you know, the stuff that comes when you get eye exams. Well, I can still see. So I'm sitting there in the chair, and I think I was between whoever was coming in next. There were about three or four people that came in. And I'm sitting there waiting, and just all of a sudden, this information began to flow to me about God's Word. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm beginning to hear this. And so, of course, I jump up and, you know, when they dilate your eyes, you only got so long you're not going to be seeing. So I jumped up and I had my Bible in there, and I grabbed something in paper and just started jotting down what I was hearing. And it turned out to be an outline for today's message in the eye doctor's office. And it's about the dynamic Word of God. I say, wow, wait, man. So don't wait until you come to church to hear from God. He will speak to you in the doctor's office. He will speak to you while you're taking a walk down the street. He will speak to you when you're waking up, when you're laying down. He especially likes to speak to me when I'm laying down, when I'm tired. It's like, man, I gotta get back up. I ain't gonna remember this in the morning. So I'll drag out of the bed and write it down. But it'd be a wonderful blessing to do that. The Bible says to let the Word of God dwell in you richly. And, you know, it was by His Word that this earth, this heaven, and this earth was initiated. It was by His Word. And the thing about that was he spoke the life, and then it was, and it began to come. When He spoke the life into the seed, He gave the seed a perpetual life. The seed, it says, a tree whose seed is in itself. In other words, the tree continued to grow. It continued to live. We got other trees from the initial tree, but it's still the same tree. It's just generations down from the same tree. And it's something about this seed of God, and it's something about the Word of God. When it grows perpetually, it grows gradually, and it grows almost unnoticeably. But nevertheless, it grows and grows and grows. And, you know, the Lord said in His Word, He said, "My Word will not return to me void." So when God sends a word, that word will accomplish, He says, what I have sent it to do. But He mentioned the word returning to Him. And so somehow the sending of the word means also the word taking something back to God. And He said it's not going to return empty. It's going to accomplish. Either it's going to be a blessing or it's going to be a witness in a particular life. The dynamic Word of God. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank You for Your Word today. Thank You for Your Word, Lord. And for this this opportunity to explore the many facets of Your Word, and help us to hear You, and help me to not get in the way, and help those that hear to also not get in the way, so we all can hear, receive, and benefit from what thus saith the Lord to our hearts today. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. The dynamic Word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says this: "For the Word of God is quick and it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the very thoughts and intents of the heart." It tells us about the Word. When it says that it's quick, it means that it lives. It's alive. God's Word is alive. Say, God's Word is alive. it's quick. When it says quick, it talks about life. It talks about being alive. It gives life. Jesus gives life through his word. It says that it's powerful. That means that it's not only living, but it's also operative, that God's word is energetic. It shakes things. It makes things move. It's efficacious. It's always with effect. God's word is, when it comes, it's always with effect. He said it will not return void. There's no void in his word. It also mentioned that his word is sharper. That means that it's more comprehensive. It's decisive. It's more cutting than any two-edged sword, as being sharpened on both edges. Ephesians 6:12 tells us that the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. Sword, two-edged sword. So the word of God is the sword of the Spirit that goes in and slices and dices and dissects. A man by the name of Chrysostom, he was the Archbishop of Constantinople and he lived between 347 and 407 A.D. He wrote this. He said, "It judges all that is in the heart, for there it passes through at once, punishing unbelievers and searching both believers and unbelievers." That word goes in and it searches. It reveals. It shows what's there. A great example of this sharpness of God's word is, if you remember in John, when they brought a woman that was caught in adultery, in the very act, a rumor that it was rumored that she was doing this. No. They went and they caught her in the very act of adultery. And according to the law, they had witnesses that went with them. So they had at least two or three witnesses and they brought her to Christ and said, "Lord, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery." Now, Moses in the law says that such should be stoned. She should die. But what do you say? And remember, he stooped down and began to write on the ground. He didn't say a word. But then he stood up and he says, "Let him who is without sin first cast a stone at her." And then he went down again and he began to write. And the Bible says that they were convinced or convicted in their own conscience, and that they left, from the eldest to the least. They all walked away. I mean, they abandoned their plan to destroy this woman because of the very sin that Moses gave them a right to destroy her for. But his word went in and searched their hearts. And after it did, they left. And then he stood up again and he says, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Has any man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." He said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go your way and sin no more." Neither do I condemn thee. The same word that convicted those Pharisees let this woman go free. Same word, same incident, convicted them and she walked away free. "Go your way and sin no more." Why is that? Because, if you sin, because if you get caught doing it again, I might not be here to help you. Don't get caught in this thing again now. So he helped her this time, but it might not be the same group. So just don't do that. That's what he's saying. Just don't do it no more. Hey, this is a word to you. You get caught in something, don't do it. Don't do it anymore. Just get away from it. It's a wonderful message. The word also pierces. It says piercing. That means it reaches through. It penetrates. The word is, it can penetrate greater than water, and water can just about penetrate about anything. But God's word is spiritual and it penetrates. And it says that it divides asunder. That means it separates. This is really sharp because it divides asunder, but what it divides, the soul and the spirit. The soul and the spirit. It divides that. That is, it reaches through even to the separation of the animal soul. The animal soul, or the word for that is psuche. It's the lower part of man's incorporeal nature, and it's the seat of animal desires which he has in common with brutish people an animal level existence, the soul. We've got that in common with all men. Even animals and animalistic tendencies, we find that the soul part of man. And it says that it divides from the soul and the spirit is pneuma. And this pneuma, it's the highest part of man. And that's the part of man that's receptive to the Spirit of God. And it allies him with heavenly beings. The spirit of man allows him to hear from God, and it allows him to move and operate in the area of the heavenlies and the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 2:14 and 16 tells us, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, but they are foolishness unto him. They are foolishness unto him, for the things of God, it says, are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of Christ that he may instruct him? Listen, but we have the mind of Christ. The scripture says we have the mind of Christ. That natural man in 1 Corinthians 14 in the Greek is a spinoff or a part of the word psuche. It's psuchikos. It speaks of a natural man. It's a man that's led by his soul. It's a soulish man. He's directed by his lower animal nature. This individual cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, which appears to him as foolishness. And so a soul-led man cannot hear the Word of God. He cannot comprehend to it. When he hears it, it's the dumbest thing he's ever heard in his life. It's foolishness. You've met them. You say something about the Word of God, and they kind of snicker at you about it. And you go, what's funny? They say, well, that's dumb, man. Grow up. Oh, you're a soul man. You're just hearing in the area of your soul. They can't hear it. It's foolishness to him. On the other hand, he who is spiritual judges all things. He who is spiritual, in the Greek, that word is pneumatikos. That's the same as pneuma, but it's a pneumatikos man. It's a spiritual man, which speaks of one who is led by his higher part, that part that is receptive to the Spirit of God and his kingdom. The Word of God separates down the difference between soul and spirit. Without that word, it'll be very difficult to separate the two, because religion operates in the soul of man. And if you don't have the leading and the higher leading of the Holy Ghost, you will be a very religious person. Institutions are full of religious people. They are full of soul-led people. People that need to be manipulated. They need to hear something that excites them other than the Word of God. They need to have the greatest talents in the community singing and performing. They need the performance to feel as though they have been fed. But the only height that is met has been the height of the soul. There's nothing spiritual going on there. So we need to be very careful with that. And you will meet people and you'll find that they are psuchikos, soul-led people. That's not to be judgmental of them, but it's a sure good piece of information for you to have when you're dealing with folks that are still quoting the Word of God. They're still saying hallelujah. They're still saying praise God, praise God. And then they'll begin to speak about who God is and what God is to them. And you find that they will speak of things that feed them in the area of their own personal souls. And it won't really be a true praise or lifting up of God. If I be lifted up, he said, I will draw all men unto me. So these are the two men or existences that the Word of God cuts and divides against. God's Word divides the actions of the two. And so we'll know the difference. Listen, I move in my soul. My soul comes alive with some issues. Sometimes something is said or something is done, or I'll think something, I'll dream something to wake up half depressed over a dream. I've got to get up and think this thing through. Now, hold on, what just happened here? Why am I so sad this morning? I haven't said anything to anyone. I haven't said good morning to anyone. I hadn't anything, no television, no phone. But I was okay when I laid down. But when I woke up, I feel depressed. Anybody ever wake up feeling depressed? You know, sometimes you don't remember your dreams. Go ahead and say amen, because I'm trying to help you with this. Sometimes you don't remember the things that pass through you at night. Sometimes I get up and close my eyes and can remember what that was. But sometimes I wake up and I'm just down. And I have to go back and say, wait a minute, even if I can't remember what it is, what does your word say about me? Who am I, Lord, and you? Help me, Lord, to regain my balance. Because I am a pneumaticos man, and I walk by faith and not by sight. I am led by the Spirit of God. But it's good to understand sometimes, and y'all hold on to that. Because sometimes you get hit with a wave of depression. It'll come through, and next thing you know, you're just down and sad, and, oh man, why even bother? And if I could, I'd just walk out of this thing right now, and who needs this? Where does that come from? Soul. It's a soul. Suicides are caused by soul action. Thinking it through, thinking about it. Who needs this? Next thing you know, I don't need this anymore. What's very interesting about it is that this is that the unsaved man can only live as a psychikos or a soul driven man. But a saved man can live as a psychikos, or he is empowered to live as a pneumatikos. He can live in both worlds, which is his true nature is the pneumatikos. If you belong to Jesus, your true nature is spiritual pneumatikos. For a saved man or woman to live after his lower psychikos nature only, he would have to ignore or silence the promptings and voice of his spiritual or pneumatikos existence. Did you hear me? In order for you to live in your soul area only, you've got work to do to silence the promptings of your spirit and silence the promptings of the leadings of the spirit. The spirit that you are and the spirit of God trying to deal with you. You've got to work to silence that. You got to do it. There's a thing called surrender. And then once we get to surrender, then we're in good shape. You see? But if for us to do that and just stay in the soul, listen, the church is so separated today because of Sukiko's operations in the church. Now, y'all, I'm going to plow a little close to the corner here only because I believe the Lord is leading me here. Football. Roll Tide. FSU. Ain't nothing to them.
Yeah, we're going to see Sunday.
And come here Sunday and almost get in a spitting match about who won and who lost the football game. But I love Jesus. That is only an example. I'm not harping on football. I like sports. But there's a place for sports and there's a place for Jesus. And with your relationship with your brothers and sisters in Christ, your relationship is in Jesus and not in these other worldly things. I'm not saying not to get involved in them, but you should draw the line when it comes to your brother in Christ. The Bible says, let all things be done unto edifying. Always build one another up. Don't attack one another. Don't destroy one another. Don't got to win the argument. Somebody's got to lose. That means somebody's going to wind up hurt. That's not edifying. That's de-edifying. I just made up a word, but that tears down. I need to write that down, de-edifying. But, you know, it doesn't build up. And so it says, let all things be done unto edifying. The Bible says that there are no powers at all except it be of God. God is the only power. And that the powers that be are ordained of God. That is way off of this thing I'm talking about, but let me go ahead and finish. Whoever gets into office will be because God allowed them to get in that office. Do you know why they'll be in office? So that they can carry out God's prophetic plan. They're going to do the things that God already has set to be done. He's going to use them. He said, my servant Cyrus. Cyrus wasn't Jewish, but he called him his servant. And so whoever gets in, God is going to, they're going to make just the right decisions that's going to fall right in line with his prophetic plan anyway. Little man, do you really think that you can change what God already has set to happen? Sure, vote your conscience. Go ahead, do what you should do. But be prayerful about it, because it's already set how this thing. And listen, you want to know how it's going to end up? It's right in that book right there. It's right in this book. We can just read through and find out how this ends up. Regardless of the many iterations and things and things that folks say and things do, it's already written in the book where we're going. Well, praise the Lord. This word of God also, it divides the joints and the marrow. That means that the word reaches even to the physical man, and that it has effect on the physical man. This word also discerns the very thoughts and intents of the heart. God's word shows the intents of the heart. It lays bare the truth of what one thinks and feels, and his truthful intentions. That's the part right there. It shows you where you are, and then it also will allow you to see, if you will be open to it, the intentions of your heart, the intentions behind it. See, that's what God's word does. It reveals. It is true. It is true that God searches the heart and knows the thoughts. But that is not the truth which is prominent here. That's not what we're talking about. The fact that he can, we know that he can, but that's not what we're espousing here. It is that the thoughts and intentions of the heart are brought out to view by the word of God. The thoughts and intents are not revealed to anyone else but to the individual. That would be you. That would be me. I don't know what he's saying to you unless you open your mouth and tell me. I've had folks say, "Brother, you read my mail." And I have to say, "Well, what did your mail say, brother? Because I don't know." If you don't tell me, I don't know. You think I know because I hit about every point in your life from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all the way through to Sunday. Say, "My God, he hit every day of the week. Man, he really knows what's going on." No, he doesn't. God knows what's going on. And as God, if I surrender to him and speak and allow him to speak, he will read your mail. And it's none of my business. Lest you make it. Now, I'm just telling you now. You don't have to come up and tell me, but I'm just letting you know. It's none of my business unless you make it my business, because I do not know your business. Sometimes I say, I think that such and such is the case, because that's why I said thus and such, but it's still a suspicion. But until you confirm it, I won't know. But listen, when God speaks, he speaks to you. He's talking to you. Or I sure wish Joe should have been here. The ones that's here are supposed to be here to hear this word. You can share with Joe. But believe it or not, you think that Joe is the one with the trouble, but you're the one here. You got trouble. It's you that needs to hear this word. See? And then when you hear this word and you hear it, then you go, "Oh," and you want to tell everybody, hey, hold on to that. That's for you. We ain't going to hardly hear what you just said. When you say it, or when you read it, or when you share it, we're going to say, "Okay, praise the Lord." What's that about, right? But it means the world to you when you hear it. But folks think sometimes that they're supposed to just share it with everybody because, "Oh, man, whoa, that is earth shattering." Really, it is earth shattering, but it's earth shattering for you. A little louder. Thank you. Okay. I want to make sure you hear that now. Because, listen, truth begets truth. The truth goes in and it comes in and it begets truth. You're not going to hear this word of truth and not know the truth inside of you. And when you hear that truth and it hits you on the inside, the Bible says that the truth makes you free. That's what it does. I was sitting listening to a message one time. I still don't know what the man said today, but I do know what I heard. And I turned to my son and said, "Well, that means I need to go and get that pirated software off of the computers at home." Now, he never said computers. He never said pirated. But what he said caused me to reflect on the truth behind that. And what was in my life that this reflected upon was illegal software on my computer at home. I didn't announce it to everybody. I went home and got busy. I had to get legitimate software if I wanted it. I had to get that stuff off. Why? Because God spoke to me in that particular meeting. And he speaks to all of us in his own special way about your particular situation. He's not going to leave you out. He's not going to leave anyone out. It's the strangest thing about God's word. He speaks to individuals through his word. God's word is a dynamic word. Of the several Hebrew words translated word, the most common one is the word, the Hebrew word davar, D-A-V-A-R. And it means a thing said, something that is said. The Greek word logos, it is a thing to be said. And it stresses the thought in the mind of the speaker. What's being thought is what's being spoken. That's logos. Now, another Greek word, rhema, signifies the thing said, the expression. It's the expression. But the choice is often of emphasis rather than meaning. So that rhema word, it's emphasizing something. Not that you got to go and do a theological study, but that thing is talking to you. And it's one of emphasis. This is more of a living. It's a living word. It's an alive word. And we often say that this is a right now word. That's what we say. It's in today's vernacular. This is a right now word. It's a word you can walk out here with and say, oh, I know what to do. That was a right now word with me with the computer. That was right now. It was rhema. I know this. If I want to go further in you, Lord, I got to fix this first. That's what you're telling me. So let's get busy and get it fixed. It's a word, the rhema is a word for the moment. It's a word that is spoken into a personal, present experience. It's a right now, present, personal, experiential word, the word rhema. And it's a dynamic word of God. John 1:1, when John used logos to express the word, he was speaking of Jesus Christ as the revelation of God. It states in John 1, in the beginning was the word, and the word, logos, the word was with God. That's something that's in the mind that's to be spoken. The word was with God, and the word was God. Then John 1:14 says, tells us that the word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. And then verse 17 in John 1 tells us, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Hebrews 1:2 says, God, who at sundry times or various times or diverse times and in diverse or different types of manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. It was by Jesus that God made the worlds. I'm still learning that. I'm still getting that in my head. I'm thinking, okay, anyway, we won't go through that. But I'm still getting a grip on that. By Jesus, the word, the logos, he made the worlds. And it says here, and before the word became flesh, God spoke to the patriarchs. We have an example there in Genesis 15:1. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Then he spoke through Moses, the lawgiver. An example we have is there in Exodus 4:30, where it says, and Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. He spoke in times past through the prophets. He spoke through Moses, the giving of the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20:1-17. He spoke through Balaam to Balak in Numbers 22:38-39. He spoke through Elisha in 2 Kings 7:1 when he prophesied plenty for Samaria that was at the time going through a famine. And he prophesied plenty. He spoke to Isaiah, as we see in Isaiah 1:10, and through the life of this prophet for many, many years. And he spoke through Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1:3-4 in the days of Josiah the king. So God spoke in times past through the patriarchs and through the prophets and through the lawgiver to man. But in these last days, he's spoken to us through his Son. And that Son was called the Word, the wonderful Word of God. The many attributes of God's Word are just unmistakable. The Word of the Lord is creative. It's a creative Word. Psalms 36, 6 and 7 says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. By the breath of his mouth. Well, you got to breathe the word. And it says by the breath of his mouth. Now, God is a spirit, so he doesn't necessarily need vocal cords to speak. But listen now. Sound travels in other than just this air that we breathe and live in. Because you had dreams where you heard full conversations. You've heard people talking. Your eyes were shut tight. Now all the lights were out. And you've seen bright sunny days in your dreams. You've seen your mama and you've seen your great grandmama and folks. And y'all had conversations, been riding down the street in cars. And so you heard and you participated. And sometimes you woke up and either feeling fulfilled or scared half to death. Y'all with me? There you go. Y'all didn't go home. Okay. You know, and it has that effect, see? And so he's done these things. And this is our God. So when we start thinking about him, we want to remember he's not limited to this time and space. He's a spirit. Jesus said he's a spirit. Genesis 1 and 3 states, and God said, let there be light. And guess what? There was light. 1:6, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. And let it divide the waters from the waters. In 1:9, God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And guess what? It was so. And in Genesis 1:11, God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And guess what? It was so. Guess what? It still is so. Still going now. And 1:14, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And 1:20 says, and God said, let the waters spring forth abundantly, the moving creature that hath life and fowl that fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And 24, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, beast of the earth after his kind. And guess what? It was so. And in verse 26 of Genesis 1, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all of the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And guess what? It was so. And it is so. And it continues on. This word of God is so powerfully dynamic that we are still walking and living and benefiting from the first time he spoke into this physical existence. Hebrews 11:3 tells us, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. Through faith, we understand. Listen, it is through faith that we can understand these things. It's through faith that we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. It was the rhema, the word used there as rhema, by the rhema of word, right now word that God spoke when he said, let there be, and it was. Remember rhema. That's the kind of word that God spoke in his creation. In our vernacular, again, we would call that right now word. That's what he spoke. A right now word. In the Hebrews, in the Amplified Bible, I just had to look this statement up because it's always baffled me. It says, by faith we understand that the worlds during the successive ages were framed or fashioned or put in order and equipped for through their intended purpose by the word of God, so that what we see was not made of things which are visible. What we see are not made of things which are visible, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear, or so that what we see was not made out of things which are visible. That is, so that the things which are seen are not made of what you're looking at. It's the most mysterious kind of statement for me. That has baffled me. Now, so that what you're seeing are not made, what you see are not made of the things that are seen. Well, I mean, in other words, there's something behind what you're looking at. There's something behind the existence of what you're seeing. It's not made of what you're looking at. Oh, yeah, these are cells and neutrons and all these different in the workings, but it's not made up of that. So what you see is not made of what you're looking at. It's through faith that we did. You gotta understand it through faith. And through faith, we see God behind it. We see God there in that creation, and we see God in the lives of those things and those people. It says, listen, the word of God is sure. The word of God is forever, and it cannot be broken. Sure, forever, cannot be broken. Psalms 119:89 says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Forever, your word is settled in heaven. And Isaiah 48 says that the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. John 10:35, Jesus was answering the Jews. He says, if he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, he says, and the scripture cannot be broken. That's what Jesus said. The scripture cannot be broken. You can't break this scripture. It's there to stay. What God says, what he said, it is there to stay. No matter how things look, how things go, if I died today, God's word is not going to change because I left. It's still the exact very same word. Nothing changes from that word. So by his spoken word, God spoke the heavens and the earth into existence. By his spoken word. By this same word, he spoke the host of both the heavens and the earth into existence. He spoke by this same word. After he formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed the breath of life into man, man became a living soul. You could say that the first man lived in life. He was alive. He lived in life. God then spoke his word of commandments to the man concerning the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which was to not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's what he said. Well, man ate and man died. You could say that man ate and that man began after that point to live in death. He lived in death. God spoke his word to the first man made of earth, but the man departed from that word. He departed. Jesus, the word, became flesh, and once again God spoke to the man that was living in death. That was all of us. But he spoke to us through Jesus. Once the dead man of earth believes the work of God through Jesus to restore a permanent relationship between God and man, that man, by faith and in reality, becomes a new creature. You're never comfortable again with your old ways. You're never comfortable again with the life that you once knew. You always want to get to that and walk in the newness of life that he gives once Jesus comes in. Even if you slip back, somehow, some way, it just is not the same as it was before Jesus came in. It's a new creation, a new creation. The new man can once again obey God's word, once again. And it can be done in spirit and truth. But this time, man's actions after salvation does not affect his eternal position with God. This time, when Christ Jesus, your actions will not affect your eternal existence with him. There are other ways God deals with us, but it will not take us out of his hand. You can't be unborn when you're born. No more than a child, like this little child, can go back from the direction that she came. She's here to stay. No matter what the deal, the child is here to stay. And no matter what the deal with you, if you belong to him, you're his. That means he's going to handle you and deal with you as a parent would with a child. So just get ready for it. So finally, James 1:22-25 gives us a wonderful piece of direction. It says, to be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, the perfect law of liberty that be made free by truth, making you free. That's the perfect law of liberty. The truth God makes you free. Whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So the blessing comes as you look into the perfect law of liberty and you continue in it. That is, you walk your life in accordance with the word of God, the perfect law of liberty. And that dynamic word of God planted inside of you as a seed planted into the earth, and you are the earth, by the way, as a seed planted into you by the earth will take root and it will grow slowly, gradually, but surely. And like I said last week, if you're the same way that you were last week, something's wrong with you. Amen. If you belong to him, you should not be the same this year as you were last year from the word of God coming into your life. If you was mean last year, you're as mean as you were last year, this year. If you had you cussed all the time last year, you might not be cussing no more, a whole lot less than before. If you had larceny in your heart last year, much of that or all of it is gone this year. Or you see that I don't feel as bad about it as I did before. I feel a whole lot better. That should be a change in your life. Now, listen, this is the true proof of God in your life. That things change. And that word goes in and it grows slowly, but it grows gradually, but it grows and grows and grows. And so if last year you were a certain way, and this year you're not as bad as you were last year, it's called a perpetual grace. It's gradual growing in grace. Wow, what's next year going to be for you? And what's tomorrow going to be for you? And what's the next 2 years going to be for you? See, we'll continue to grow in grace, continue to walk in spirit and truth, in grace and truth of God's word. So just remember, keep this in your mind, that God's word dynamically works in your life, and that he gives living right now words into your life. I bet you that everybody here heard something. You won't remember everything that was said because I talk a lot. But there are some truths that hit your life that you got to hold to. And because that's how he does. He speaks to everybody. But it's a different way than what we're used to hearing. He speaks, but he speaks individually to you. So listen, unless you tell me, it's not my business. But take the word that God has given you today, that dynamic word, and allow it to take root and grow in your life so that you can be so much better and effective for him than ever before. Amen? Amen. Lord, thank you for the dynamic word of God. Thank you, Lord, for using this word to speak to our hearts and helping us to hear it. And Lord, let us remember this message here today about the dynamics of your word. Let us know that it is an eternal word that cannot be shaken and it cannot be broken. And once this word is living inside of us, it will do as you said. It will not return unto you void, but your word will accomplish what you have sent it to do in each of our lives. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.